Hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister, Kix. Hi, Kix.
Hi.
Welcome back to the pod.
Welcome back. It's the longest week of our goddamn lives.
Okay, so everyone's been saying that, and I agree. I posted something about it being like, does anyone else feel like it should be Friday already? And everyone's like, yeah. I feel the same way. What is it?
I don't know. I'm looking at the moon. Maybe it's like Sunday we had.
Is the moon in Thursday?
Shut the fuck up. I'm just trying to. Here it is. We haven't had sun. We haven't seen the sun in New York City in quite literally 6 days. So.
But see, that doesn't. I'm not sun affected. That does not affect me.
It just makes me.
Like, I really don't have.
Good for you.
When people post the things like sunlight starts at this time, I'm like, party.
Well, that's.
I don't know why. It doesn't bother me.
Well, you're not
me.
Like a. You don't. I'm not going to diagnose you because clearly I'm not a professional, but you don't have depression.
No, I don't. Yeah. I've never experienced so, it. Like, I get anxiety sometimes around like just like events and when I'm in certain social situations, but I don't. I've never experienced depression.
Right.
Symptoms.
So that's what. The sun is, they battle each other.
I see. I know. People get so, they're like, it's so dark. I'm like, okay, look, just go home.
That doesn't really bother me. It just makes me tired. Like, I don't feel sad. I just could go to sleep at 6:30 p.m.
But see, that's the other thing about me is like, when it's time for bed, I just go to bed.
Yeah.
I don't like. Need help falling asleep.
No, we've always been like that. Our parents would tell us, like, especially me, like when I was a child, it would be like 8 p.m. or whatever my bedtime was, and I'd be like, gotta go, and I would just go to sleep. There was no
well
fighting.
You're worse than I don't need that much sleep, so I'll stay up.
Yeah.
But Kix is like, even today, to this day, like, it's like we'll be at a bar, she's like, it's time for bed.
I'm like literally laughing and having the time of my life. And then I look at my phone and it's like 10 p.m. I'm like, great.
But you sometimes you look like someone's died. You're like, I have to go. And I'm like, okay, it's okay. Like, I have to go to sleep. And I'm like, okay. Like,
especially
okay.
When we're out, like, and I'm like shit faced. Then I get really stressed about it. Because this is, by the way, if you're new, we're talking about Real Housewives. Bravo. Welcome to the show.
Sometimes.
I get really stressed about sleep because I can't sleep in. Mm-hmm. So if it's 3 a.m., I'm like, well, I'm fucked because I'm going to wake up at 7 regardless.
Right.
So then I get like.
Same.
Then I. Yeah, but like my operating speed is like minimum 8 hours. Mm-mm. And I do envy you. I did Google how do I untrain myself to sleep so much.
No, are you serious?
Yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, one of the things that trained me to do it is just from working at like a studio.
Yeah. Yeah,
where you have to be up. You have to wake up at 4 a.m. fully to be there at 5.
Yeah, I only did that for like 6 months.
Wake up at 4:30 to be there at 5:30.
I only did that for 6 months and it was prison.
But it just doesn't bother. Like, I can just function.
Yeah.
On a little amount of sleep, so. Party.
Party. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we are recording this a little bit early. We're not going to talk about we said this last week on the pod, but I just don't have the bandwidth to address anything else in Salt Lake City. I know there was some Instagram fodder about Angie K. I literally don't have.
It's like not
the bandwidth
surprising
to talk
she's
about it.
Friends with white. Lives
I just want to say Black Lives Matter again. I don't know how many times we have to say that, but it's important for you to hear that again, and that's what we believe here on this podcast. So
indeed,
and that's just like kind of like a
bare minimum. So.
A bare minimum, yeah. So. Black lives matter. And if you don't believe that, get the fuck away from us.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we're not gonna talk about the SLC reunion. It's just not something that feels important. I saw a clip of Lisa saying Meredith ingested ketamine. I did laugh at that.
That's hilarious. I appreciate that.
She was like, pills like ketamine. I'm like,
ketamine.
I mean, I'm sure you can find a ketamine and a pill, like medicinally. I know people do test it.
Yeah, how do you how do they get it?
No, it is a pill, but it's like,
do vets like prescribe it to horse
people? Snort it? I've never done it. Yeah. I've never done it. I've been with people who do it, but I can't I'm trying to remember how they consumed it, and I can't remember. I think it's a pill form.
My question is this. Because it's like literally a horse pill, like not even like just because it's not the size of the pill.
For those that don't know, it's a horse tranquilizer.
Yeah. So like, do you inject the tranquilizer or do they swallow it?
No, there's certainly no injecting happening.
Yeah. No, I'm no saying like if you're trying to tranquilize a horse, you put it in their body. Like, oh, I thought which you meant, way?
So you meant recreationally. There's no injecting. That's no, like a thing we don't do.
I lead this up because then it's like, how do they take it? And then how do you get
it? It's pill. Right. It's either pill or snort. And I think it's pill.
But
there's two things in life. Everything is either pill or snort.
That's not that funny.
What do you mean? Just, everything is pill or snort.
My cat is, speaking of pill or snort, my cat is literally losing his fucking mind.
Grizz could use some ketamine right now.
Is it a downer?
So it, yes, it like brings you, but it brings you into like kind of a cathartic space. And it doesn't last very long. It's like you are essentially transported into like slow-mo timescape for like 15 minutes and then you kind of come to.
Because horses weigh a lot. So like I'm sure it's not the amount you don't take. You're not like eating.
like that dosage.
Yeah. You're not taking a horse level. I just am like, do vets like prescribe it to people? And then I just have a lot of questions about ketamine.
No, because dogs don't take ketamine.
But of course, the vets take care of horses.
Not your neighborhood vet. What are you talking about? I'm sure a neighborhood vet like learned about horses at school, but no one's coming in like on horseback, being like, "Hey, my dude, okay. Like he's."
When we were growing hurting. Up, when we were growing up in Texas, there no lie, like this is not a joke. There were people, and we didn't even live in like a very rural place, but there were people who would ride their fucking horse around town. So you know what, Tom? Maybe they do.
Not in New York. We've been living in New York. I've lived in New York for 10 years. The only horses that are here are the ones that need to be stripped. No, not more than that. It's my 10 year this year.
Oh.
The only horses here need to be stripped of being in New York, and they are ridden around Central Park.
Yeah, so. Honestly, pour one and out.
By police. ACAB. but no, like, vets aren't just, like, giving out ketamine. Ketamine has been used in some, like, scientific studies to help cure forms of, I believe, some sort of, like, mental illnesses. It was either that or Parkinson's. Maybe that was mushrooms or Parkinson's. I can't remember.
I mean,
not all drugs are bad. And correct. The universe has made us think that certain drugs are bad because the war on drugs is a deeply racist
come back to it. Problem. Come back to it.
It is. They've stigmatized certain drugs because it was an easy way to imprison black and brown people.
Sir,
that's why drugs are viewed in a certain way in this country. Okay.
Thanks, Clintons.
No, before that.
I know.
Reagan.
But, Reagan. The war on drugs is Reagan. And then Bill Clinton really amped that shit up.
I don't know if that's a fact or not. But
it is, actually.
I thought it was Reagan.
Reagan. I'm saying that Bill Clinton, like, the three strike rule was him.
Got it. So.
Political podcast. So, ketamine. Real Housewives.
never done it. Don't really have interest in doing it. Are there any drugs that you like are like, I have interest in trying that?
Absolutely fucking not. The problem with my cabeza up here is that I can't let go. So like I know what alcohol does to me and I know when it's going to end. And so like with drugs, I don't have that experience. So I have no interest, like never in my life, even like in high school when there was people doing X on the weekends, I had quite literally zero interest in doing it because I was just so fearful of like how long it would last. And that's same with like
calling
all
drugs. X is so 2003. I've never heard. Molly. I haven't heard someone call it Do X since Molly? Like mom.
X Molly, isn't that the same thing? Clearly, I don't know. Like
it's
only
it's base is the same.
Only recently have I literally started taking edibles again.
Yeah.
And that's not even a drug, honestly.
You're like, no, like I won't do X, I won't do crack, I like won't do like, you know, the drugs.
Mushrooms, I have no interest. I don't want to be close to my feelings like that.
I think you would like a BB.
No.
Because people take micro and they're just happy, up and around.
Once again, it's touching feelings it's not, that I'm not interested
no,
in
No, it's, but I know, but I think you have only seen it and experienced it like in ways where it's like heavy, full hallucinogen, that sort of thing. With people, people don't consume it like that as often anymore.
No,
I mean people do, yeah. But like recreationally, it's used as just like a little like brighten up your evening.
No, I mean that's great for people. I have quite literally no interest. I'm happy to trip sit any day of the week. Call me up.
But it's not tripping. That's what I'm saying
as like a phrase. Like if you want to do mushrooms upstate with our parents, one of our parents. I'm happy to be there, make you a sandwich to eat it in.
No, but that's, you're missing the point. So you take literally the smallest little piece of chocolate and you just eat it. And then you just like go about your day.
I did see someone on acid before and it did look really fun.
But see, I think you would be good on like Molly. I think you would have so much fun. You just like laugh and dance. And dancing is your favorite thing.
No, here's the thing. Mom, Marion Hamlet, you're listening to this. I'm going to call you out. She is a brilliant little mind game when it comes to drugs. She told me in middle school, people die from internal drowning when they take ecstasy and Molly. So, like, it's so common to drink so much water and you don't, like, let it out, pee or sweat. And people drown. And it's true. People do. But, like, I won't ever do it because now in my head I'm like, I'm going to fucking die because I'm going to get too thirsty.
Well, this is also the woman who, like, now, like, bakes her own edibles. And, like, I've had an edible so bad. Like, I thought that I had a peanut butter sandwich, like, lodged in my throat. So, like, I think there are definitely just, like...
I've literally told her this before because I even get scared. I drink
but
a gallon...
But that's also not Molly.
I drink a gallon of water a day for my life. And I get scared when I drink over that because I think I'm going to die. Because she has implanted...
Everything you've said about the darkness, the fears... Some would say you should take some drugs. You seem like you need a little something to loosen up a little bit. Like, I'm scared of drinking water.
No, I'm not scared of drinking water. I'm scared of drinking too much water.
I can't drink water at night. It's dark and I'm going to drown.
Shut the fuck up. Okay, I don't even. It doesn't matter.
But ketamine.
So, the only thing I actually care about with Real Housewives is Heather fucking telling us who hit her in the eye, and that's never going to happen. So
I don't care because it's never going to happen. Yeah, no, it's not worth it. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that. But there is a show that, you know, we won't be covering here, but I am going to just have a moment about it.
Take it away.
And that's a show called MILF Manor. Now, I don't know if everyone heard about this television program, but MILF Manor is a new TLC show that is amazing. It's kind of, it feels like a return to form. It feels very like pulled out of 2008, deeply problematic, no budget. These people don't really understand how to be on TV. I highly suggest it. I'm positive there will be a scandal during the season, and like maybe the whole season won't even air. Like I think that's like where.
Like what was the swinger show that happened with?
Neighbors with Benefits.
Neighbors with Benefits.
There was a show called Neighbors with Benefits on A&E, and it came out in like 2015, 2014 or something like that. And of course, I got my eyeballs on that. And one day we were watching it, and then it was like, where is episode 4? Like, I can't get to it. Like, and I was Googling episode 4, where it's Annie. And they pulled the show from the network because it was exposing, like, the neighborhood. And, like, all these families were, like, didn't know about the swingers. And then, like, people were getting fired from their work, and they had to pull it. So I'll never get to see how those relationships, you know, so ended.
We do.
I'm worried we might get this too. But the premise of MILF. Go ahead.
We do live in like our reality that we created, because 30 Rock, bringing it back to 30 Rock, I brought it up last episode too, famously has some of the best television, fake television shows, one of them being MILF Island, and hot single moms and young kids go on a Survivor type show. But that's not like,
well,
this,
no,
but,
yeah. No, it's not their kids. On
it just reminds me, like, who, how well, dare you,
you're
name
ruining
something
what I was
MILF.
About to,
yeah,
well, you, well, what I was going to say, for those who don't know, the twist of MILF Manor is that they think they're going on a dating show to meet younger men, and then there's a big reveal that the younger men are all their sons. So, you know, that's tough.
It's tough, but it's
and they
good.
Do interviews together. Like, no. The moms and sons sit in the, yes. And they're like, I'm so, like, I really want to be with so-and-so. And she's like, not my son. And then, and like, there's a couple, I would say there's like three or four sons that feel appropriate to be on the show. Mm-hmm. They're definitely like mid-20s or maybe a little bit older and like hot. And just like, they look like men. Mm-hmm. They look like grown men. I mean, famously, I think many people say that men don't really grow up until after like the age 27. So there's, I don't think that anyone's post that.
Is it like, but, Caroline, Sanbury and that, her husband?
Like, well, yeah, actually, that the age gap is probably the same, because isn't he just turned like 25 or something?
No, I think he turned 27, but still.
No, I don't think so.
No, he did. We had this conversation because I looked it up.
No, I don't think so. Look it up. I don't think so.
Okay. Wait, what's the show on? Did you say that?
Well, I'm trying to still talk about it. Okay, sorry. It was on TLC. I did say that. But so the first episode, there is a challenge where they blindfold the moms, and the moms have to, and all the boys take their shirts off and stand in a line, and the moms have to feel all the boys' bodies and guess which boy is their son.
No.
And it's like, would you rather be confident in knowing your son's body or be so confused that you wouldn't? Like, I honestly mean that. And I don't know the answer, because some of the women are like, I know those broad shoulders, like the back of my hand.
Why?
Well, because some women have weird infatuations.
He's 28, by the way. Anyways.
Okay, great. That's happy. That's good to hear. That's happy.
happy.
No, so that's something that happens in episode one. Episode two, there is a, and this isn't a spoiler, I'm just kind of like talking generally about it. but there is a game they play where they all have to write a secret. the mom and sons have to share a bedroom.
Absolutely not.
So whenever fucking comes into play here, because I'm sure it will, like, they have to either get creative about where that will be, or they have to be like, hey, son, like, can you just like go sit by the pool? I'm going to go fuck this guy.
Oh my God, that makes me sick.
So there's this game where they have to write their deepest, darkest secret down. And this is why I say it's a return to form, because these people are really dumb. Like, they don't get, like, I think a lot of them genuinely did not think that their secret would be like, have to be read in front of their mom or vice versa. So everyone's writing the craziest shit. One person writes, I got pink eye from eating ass. And TLC had to blur out eating. I'm like, what the hell?
Why eating? Not ass?
I know. Like, I can deduce what that says. And also work. And the person who ends up having to own up to that. Well, so the game is that the moms have to pick which secret their son committed. And then the sons have to pick which secret their mom committed. And so the son that did get a pink eye from eating ass, he's like, proudly owns it. And he's like, yeah, I mean, you're just like, you're there. And like, it makes sense, right?
That's not why I'm feeling nauseous. I'm just feeling nauseous.
No.
Thinking
it gets
about
worse.
The secrets.
Well, I know, but I'm trying to say, I was like, I'm like, totally. Like, everyone was so men are so fragile. He was like,
especially,
yeah, who cares? He's
asshole.
Like, yeah. So I loved him, which you'll see who he is. I think he's the best one there. But then one of the secrets was I had sex with my son's best friend. And it's revealed which mom said that, and she has to talk to her son about it.
Oh, so and I thought he learns, say he's there, because that would
no,
be...
he learns in real time on the show, like, that his best friend fucked his mom. So, if that wasn't just a glowing endorsement for you to watch the show, you must be listening to the wrong podcast. It's filmed somewhere in Mexico. Oh, this is another thing. It's filmed in Mexico. Also, there's no host.
I'm picturing La Quinta, where Tayshia's season was, like that kind of vibe.
That, but it's just one house. It's a mansion that they all live in together.
Okay.
So they're in Mexico. There's no host, kind of like Love Island, but in Love Island, the host does come in like once every week. Yeah. But with this, there's literally not a voice. There's nothing. Like, so it's a disaster. Like, they're like trying. That's why it's so good. It's like they're not overproducing it in a certain way. But one of the women takes another son on a date, and she's like, "I'm going to take you to this one of Mexico's biggest landmarks."
I'm so scared.
You don't need to be scared. This isn't scary. It's just funny. She's like, Mexico's like most famous landmark, and we're going to get on a boat and we're going to go there. And he's like, oh my God, like, what is it going to be? And they pull up and there's this rock that looks like a mushroom. And she goes, we're here. And he's like, is that the mushroom rock? And she's like, yeah. Like, and he's like, I've been wanting to see that.
Sorry, and I'm like, covering wait. My mouth. No.
I'm like, wait, mushroom rock?
Mexico has so many other things going for it than a fucking mushroom
I can think of so many other things Mexico to do City. In Mexico outside of Mushroom Rock. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe culturally I'm really out of touch in this moment that like that is famous. But to me, it was interesting. And then they made out in front of Mushroom Rock. as we all would want to do. And I'm sorry, these moms kissing these boys. And
are they like I need you to paint a picture. Are they like like housewifey, plasticky, blonde haired, huge boobies?
It's like 50-50. Some work done to the nines. There's one that is the obvious, like, I've had it all done. Some have had better work than others. And then some are a little more normal.
Okay.
And their storylines are a little sad.
Yeah, I was gonna say that feels weird.
There's one woman who's like, I don't think they're going to be attracted to me because, like, I've let my body go by the wayside because I'm a mom. And, like, I'm hoping that her story ends up being finding herself beautiful again. Like, I need that story for her. I'm nervous that this was the wrong show to go on.
You know
what? You're looking to find that.
You're probably right on that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's amazing.
Oh, God. I need to get that Discovery Plus login.
So everyone, please go watch that. MILF Manor. I'll be, you know, touching base with anyone on Instagram that wants to talk about it. Happy to chat about kind of like who you think is going to win. And the rules of the game are very confusing.
Do people leave?
Not yet.
Like, there's no, like, rose ceremony or, like, boob ceremony, like, some clock
there's
ceremony.
They don't know, and I don't think production knows what they're doing in it. Like, they're just kind of like, well, this is the challenge today. It's all very, very sketch. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure these people were eating, like, Top Ramen and, like, drinking, like, Coronas, and that's, like, all they had to, like, drink and eat.
I have Top Ramen in my pantry, so.
No, that sounds good to me, but I'm just saying, like, they're on like a huge television show and like there's no producers in sight. There's no hosts. They're just like trying to fend for themselves in this like mansion next to a mushroom rock. Like it's desolate. All in all, watch it. Please, once again, DM me if you have any thoughts, theories, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, who do you think is going to go home, or if anybody goes home?
Well, they do have like there is a winner. The winner is like the best couple.
Okay. Like Love Island.
Which, right? I don't know how that's... I don't know who votes on that, but...
America.
I don't think America votes on that.
I think it's Love Island season right now, by the way.
It's... Yeah, it starts soon. In, like, late January, I believe. Which I want to care about. I just, like, can't commit to it.
I loved it. Like, when I actually watched... I watched the first season of US Live... And it's so addicting. And then when you finish it, you're like, holy shit. I literally watch so much. It's 5 days a week.
No, it's like embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, I have consumed crazy amounts of television in short periods of time. I mean, I did watch a season of Love Island, and it did pay off. I liked it, but like, it's hard to like commit to that. But you know, to be honest with all the listeners, Bravo is just not giving.
Except Miami, which I realized we're not recording on Thursday, that we can't talk about Miami. That's literally the only joy I have on Bravo.
We did talk about last week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With the engagement party and her dad. Did we?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I can't remember. Because I thought that was troubling.
I did finish The Traitors last night.
Oh, okay. So Traitor spoilers ahead. Pause here. Last episode, I put a timestamp where the Traitors chat was had. So maybe skip ahead a little bit, go open the episode descript, look for the Traitors spoiler kind of like, you know, time frame, because we're going to start talking about it right now.
Okay, I want to start something with a little bit of an apology to you, Tom.
Okay.
You were kind of correct. When we fought for probably 15 minutes last episode about your logic puzzle that of a brain and how when people walk in. Yeah. What I noticed this episode was when they're at the round table voting people off every episode, the people who go last are the traitors. That in the finale before when they're like voting last person off. Ceri is the last person to go because like the producers know that she has like the final like dichotomy vote. So like I am getting your logistical brain, and so for that reason I'm out. No, for that reason I'm sorry for the listeners, actually. Listeners, okay. I'm sorry that we fought for 10 minutes about nothing. So unless Tom cut that out.
I didn't. Thank you. Thank you so much. I haven't lost sleep over it because I knew I was right.
Classic fucking Sagittarius.
What I will say about the voting is they can piece together the voting in any order they want in post, because like they can dub and make it seem like she was last.
Yeah.
So I thought you were going to say something different though. I thought a lot of the times what was weird was the person who was on the chopping block was often facing their back towards like he was they were often facing like their back was often facing the exit, which was kind of weird. Like I feel like oftentimes the people who had to go didn't have to walk all the way around the table.
Yeah. Like there was no one on the opposite patterns of Alan. Like everybody was like
right.
It was an easy exit.
They were always Alan was always
you like don't have to like I squeeze just, by tails and be like, sorry, excuse me, sorry, gotta get by.
Right. I just think that with this show, it's been so popular. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to be on it. And I just think that they should be careful because I think there are some really easy ways to catch on if you're a fan of the show, mm-hmm. of like where people are. Granted, when you're in it, I'm sure the last thing you're thinking about is who's sitting next to who. You're like tired, stressed, all you're thinking about is this game, missing home, you don't have your phone, like there's a lot going on, so I understand that maybe that doesn't even matter, but as a viewer I do catch those things. So because on Survivor that doesn't really happen because the game unfolds on its own, but with this, like there are bad people that are built into the game, so that's part of who you have to figure out.
And when I was watching it, you had also mentioned you thought that people came into the show knowing if they were going to be a traitor or not. I actually still don't think that's true, because I don't think that Alan is tapping people on the shoulder in that room. I think that like they post that get like when they're in their talking.
No, that's not what I was saying. Oh. I was saying I don't think they go in knowing. I'm saying I don't think that they get tapped on the shoulder. I think that they are told like right before that or maybe right after that. Like they're not told. Like I don't think the tap happens.
So towards the end, which was so fun, I think the traitors is now an entry point for the next people who are going on the challenge, because they're like it's like a low key kind of challenge.
I actually don't think so, because I think what they're doing is, I noticed on Netflix too, I don't know if you saw this, they're trying to all create feeder shows. Well, they're all trying to create feeder shows because they know how popular the challenge is. So I think The Traitors is like Peacock, NBC, Universal's like pivot to the challenge. Yeah. And then like this new Netflix, is it like a dating
show? It's a dating show.
Like that's Netflix's new The Challenge, because it's like, you love our universe of characters. Like, guess what? You get to see them together. So I think they might keep them separate. The only thing that is weird to me is that why like Big Brother and Survivor have fed into both The Challenge and The Traitors. Mm-hmm. Network logistics. I kind of think it's like I nerd out on it.
Confusing contract.
Yeah.
Like as people who work in production, they must have been expired. Yeah. And I book people and look at contracts. That's like a lot of what Tom does. I know what people's contracts looks like, even just for a year. So like, I just can't imagine.
Expired.
Yeah, I just can't imagine an expiration, like the people's expiration dates. But some of, I guess with The Traitors, their expiration, like if you think about a contract expiration, a lot of them, it has been a while.
Yeah, that's
but like the
that's
challenge like in Love Island, like they're on different networks, but in recently. Peacock, it's just like,
no, I know that I don't understand how all of the logistics work, but I do think that Cerise, Survivor, CBS, Paramount contract is expired.
Absolutely.
Because she hasn't been on the show in like 10 years or maybe less than that actually, but because she came in a late season. But so what happens in like the last episodes is the Traitors slowly get kicked off, and we're left with Ceri and Ari, and Ceri ends up winning. Now, I was watching the show with my partner Brian, and he was very, very enthralled on the show. Despite he could probably hear me outside of the store right now, being like, "I wasn't," but he was. And we were watching it, and he was like, "I can't believe that." So, what happens at the end is they can vote to end the game, or they can keep voting off people, which is a smart way to end it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that until the finale. That's what I was saying to you last week. I was like, you were like, when it's three, I was like, no, it's not really
I
that.
Loved
it's
how
like,
they, I loved
I
how
agree.
They ended it because
I liked it better than the mole.
Yeah. 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 It's brilliant because it gives people the chance to continue the like drama, or like what we saw in this episode. Is both continue and end it.
And Ceri was really smart.
Masterful.
To end the game, to vote Ari out before ending the game, because she's right. Ari came in late.
Yeah.
Like Ari became a traitor later in the game, which I like that twist. I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen with someone. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair. Like,
no.
Ceri has been sitting here lying for like
she has
6 weeks.
Doing so much fucking work. And
yeah, she's like, no, you don't get half of, and she won so much money. Tons. I didn't realize the show would, she got like $250,000.
Yes. So I didn't watch Ari's season of The Bachelor.
Yeah,
or the was he on The Bachelorette? Probably. I know the escandalo of him picking Becca and then saying, JK, I want the other bitch.
It's kind of iconic.
It's hilarious. And now has like literally three children with this woman. So it clearly is fine.
Is that the woman?
Yeah. He's married.
She's from
to.
The show.
Yeah.
It's from the show.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're married. They have they have twins and then another child. Don't fucking ask me how I know it, okay? I see it in your head.
No, I actually didn't even think about that. You always know these things about them. So.
I love him. I was like, I'm having fun. He's like a joy. Like he's just a neutral like player that I'm like, I could literally, you're like fun. You're not fun conventionally, but like you're not uninteresting to watch. Like I'm enjoying.
I did not like when he called Kate cancer. I was like, bro.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Kate Chastain.
Amazing.
Incredible.
And I have to say, so, Gibson Johns had Kate Chastain on his podcast, and Kate said, why is like not everyone rallying behind Brandy? Because Brandy called the traitors from the jump.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, correct.
Yeah.
Brandy should have stayed in that game. If she had stayed longer, like they would have.
The
traitors would have been gone.
What do they call
them? Because she would have figured out.
Familiars? What? Well, not familiars.
Not familiars. What is that from?
Faithfuls. Familiars is. Oh.
Yeah, but what is familiars? Is that Harry Potter?
It's like a witch thing.
Yeah. Is that when you like convince people of something?
No, it, a familiar is like some like you bond with like glamour. An animal. Like so like
oh yes, yes, yes.
It's
you kind of like control that animal
via like your... think about Sabrina. Like Sabrina's familiar is like the cat, the black cat.
Yeah.
They don't control each other, but they're like bonded.
Connected, yeah. So
Serena. You get winning. Everything win- here. Okay.
She wins. You get everything top to bottom. You, Serena ends up winning, gets $250,000. If you don't know Serena and you've just watched The Traitors and now you're like, wow, she's amazing. Go back, watch Survivor. She is a killer player at reality television competition shows.
She's so fucking good.
She played the game exactly how I expected her to play. I'm not surprised she won. She's the best.
I cried. Like I literally was crying because I was she was like, I finally did it.
Well, and that's what I love about that is what I love about Survivor people is that they're not in it for fame, really, because none of them really go on to become famous. They're just, I did Survivor and then I go back to work. It's like one of the only shows where like you just kind of go back to your life. Like she's still a nurse.
Despite being like a massive television show, they don't go on to be influencers.
Starstruck. Like, I don't think I would be, I don't think if I saw like Florence Pugh on the street, I would be starstruck. If I saw Suri on the street, I think I would have to like sit down and be like, okay, do I say hi?
What do I say to be cool about this?
Yeah. No, like I'm not kidding. Like she's someone I would be fully just, yeah, she's amazing.
And what I appreciate about her winning and also appreciate, so Ari, Suri doesn't end the game. So then they have to go to another round of votes to find out like who to vote out. And what I appreciate about Ari is that at what's different from Ari and Suri is many things. But Ari was like, here's the thing. I have a successful business. I have a beautiful family. Essentially, he was saying, I don't need this money. When he's right, he doesn't. Because
and Batch Nation pays. Yeah, like he makes millions of dollars on Batch Nation. Yeah.
And that, because he saw it. He was like, she's brilliant. And I appreciate how he did that. And so he takes himself out of the game and reveals that he's a traitor. So the familiars, I said the normals, the faithfuls are sobbing because they're like, we just won.
We won.
And I was like, oh my fucking God.
It was brutal.
But then.
And also, can we give props to Alan? Alan Cumming.
Honestly, an Emmy. Give him a fucking Emmy.
I'm not kidding.
No, I'm.
There is an Emmy you can win for reality competition hosting.
He's like, he's so good at it.
He is amazing at it. And he doesn't make it feel like it's beneath him. No. Like, he literally slays it.
And he's hilarious. Like, he's just like the little tiny funny things. It's just so funny. And so when Suri wins, you have a moment of like, this person who is a reality TV star just won and beat out these normal people. But to me, when she was talking, I started getting emotional because I was like you're saying, Tom, it's from the Survivor world. It's like they are still normal people. Like they're not Batch Nation influencers. Like, and she was talking about how this, like her mom, like she gets to support her mom and her kids with this money. You feel there's a level of like redemption for her antics and not even crazy antics, just for her being a traitor. But
and Quentin and Andy, the other two, are floored. And
I would be too. Suri did an incredible job at lying to people. I would be floored.
I don't think either of them played the game very well, though, because Ari was very obviously a traitor towards the end of it. Mm-hmm. He was the I don't know why. That's in, you know, they say this about Drag Race. Like, you're like, I could totally nail that. And you're there and you fuck it up. Yeah. I'm sure it's so much harder when you're there. But to me, like, it was so... Suri, I would have never figured it out. Unless I would... I say that, but I also... If I went in and she was there, I'd be like, she's genius of the game. Like, we need to keep eyes on her. And I would say that only maybe to myself because, like, I wouldn't want a target on my back. But I thought Ari didn't really play...
He didn't play the game.
It was surprising to me that they wanted to end the game with the four of them standing there because I was like, the chances of there being... And that was the other part of it. I was like, y'all, the chances of there being a traitor here is very, very high still. Like, you only knowingly have eliminated two.
And gender-wise, I know, like, they were very genderless in this game, and there was a non-binary person on there. But like gender-wise, I think when they pick traitors, they can't pick three dudes. Like they have
no, and two men went home.
Yeah, so it's like only to me, like watching. Obviously, we know who the traitors are. To me, watching, I was like, obviously, there has to be a female or non-male traitor because that would be weird if they.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was so good. It was so much mm-hmm. fun. A true delight of a television show.
Fabulous. Everyone go watch
everything
it.
We all love about reality TV, like put in one.
Yeah, it's a good bridge for those who like competition reality and those who like a little bit of trashy drama, because it's not doesn't take itself too seriously, mm-hmm. even though it does kind of like. But yeah. Well, we're just gonna really talk about one city today, and that is Potomac. Let's chat about it. Also, a lol from top to bottom. I was having the best time. It really rejuvenated my love for these women, because I'm sorry, the fact, and Karen is not doing this for television.
No,
Karen decided to finally tell her story, and that story is that Juan is hooking up with a woman who looks exactly like Karen, and she doesn't blame him because he's hit on her before. I was, in the way that they all were like crying laughing as she was saying.
I have two things about that. Two different sides to that of frustration but also hilariousness is the fact that she drew a picture of this woman, and it's quite literally a picture of herself.
No, she didn't draw that picture.
Are you sure?
No, Kix, have you never seen Law and Order?
Not in a long time, no.
They draw at the top of Law and Order, like, the photo of, like, the killer or the victim or something like that, because it's, like, it's about the court. Like, it's, like, the drawing. They do a sketch as,
Here's the thing. I think you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
I really think...
She didn't draw that photo of her sitting in the chair.
Kix, the I head. The head.
That photo of her, she did not draw that. They did that because they were being funny. Kix, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, I'm going to rewatch it tonight, and I'm going to fucking text you about it. So we'll move on.
Like, okay. I promise you that was... Even if I am wrong about them drawing at the top, like during Law & Order, like doing light sketches at the beginning of episodes... I promise you, Kix, she did not draw that. They drew her.
You fucking liar.
Kix, they drew her sitting in the confessional chair. So how would that was filmed after she's.
Okay, we're going to move on because I'm going to look it up and then we're going to figure it out.
On the basis of like what that photo was, she hadn't even worn that outfit yet.
So
if she had drawn that, it's not bad because I couldn't draw that.
My problem is this. Yes, she is being hilarious, but she's also, what's really frustrating is, I'm always frustrated with Jizzy and Robin, is they were so quick to, well, Giselle was so quick to dismiss Karen and be like, you fucking liar. She didn't probably say that, but you liar, liar, LOL, laugh, 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 laugh. But it's just like, once again, they're being so hypocritical, because when Giselle said that she was uncomfortable by Chris Bassett, it was up in arms. Everyone's pissed except Robin. So now that Karen has been like, no, I was uncomfortable by your husband, despite the picture, she was just like, you liar, 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 liar. And it's like, no, Karen has brought this up before, though. She has brought the fact up that there is a husband that has made her feel uncomfortable. And even they roll the tapes, as Lisa Barlow would say, and they show Giselle and Karen talking about it. And Giselle was like, I always just assumed that it was Michael Darby, which we all did. But she was like, it's not Juan. It's like, so now you're not believing women. It's just that part of it is very annoying because of how they were so... like angry at Candace for standing by her husband.
Totally. That's not what's funny to me. What's funny to me is that Karen is like bringing, is accusing.
Honestly,
it's just hilarious to be like, she's that she's saying Juan's fucking someone that looks exactly like her because he's obsessed with her. It's hilarious.
No, it's quite funny.
Us. But I will say, I kind of would buy that they had an agreement.
Word on the street. The
way
I'm still the word that on the man, street.
The way that man got mad on the phone, that is not someone who has not done nothing.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Now, granted, more has come out since the show about this scandal at the college that he works at and how he is, charged with like being kind of like witness and or an ableist to like some sexual allegations that happened with a coach and a student. And maybe he's angry because he thought that it was that was going to come out. Maybe he's angry because he actually did something. I don't know, but he's angry about something more than just like. I think that, well, remember, they tried to spread a rumor about Eddie, that woman, the Sesame Street character, tried to spread a rumor about Eddie being all smiley. And remember, Wendy was like, told him, and he was like, am I not supposed to smile anymore? It was hilarious because he didn't do anything wrong. Like, he knew he was like, this is so stupid. But, like, it doesn't matter. But Juan got mad, that, like, it mattered.
That phone call was so alarming for many reasons. Juan being like, that's how you talk to your wife. The second being that clearly he's projecting his anger about something that's more deep. And then third was there was to me when I was listening to it, watching it, it was like, oh, you're pissed that Robin's on the show. That's what I got from it. I was like, he's pissed that Robin's bringing.
He's always been mad about that.
Yeah, because I think to your it's all of that mixed together. Robin's on the show. Which means everything that they've done in their life is going to be exposed. Therefore, ipso facto, his scandals are going to be exposed. So I think it was like all of that in one. And like she just wasn't affected by it. It was just
in a disturbing way.
In a I'm very like, this man yells fucked up at way. You. He literally just yelled at you.
Yeah. And
like he's mad at you for being friends with people.
And it wasn't even edited. It's not like you could blame editing. It's like, no, that was just his voice. And she was just standing there, like, taking it. It really was that. Like, that wasn't, like, cut to make a looks a certain way to me. Like, it was pretty much just straight on, he's screaming.
Yeah.
Ashley is so messy.
She's so messy. So fucking messy.
She's like, I'm not supposed to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. But don't tell her I told you, even though she's standing right behind me. But she told everyone. I was laughing out loud though when Robin showed all the photos of Blue Eyes and Karen and wouldn't show Karen.
It's like
I did think that was hilarious. I thought that was so funny because Karen was like, well, it's just like I just the combo of the situation at the table was hilarious back to back, and the way they were able to just move on from Karen dropping that and Robin dropping Blue Eyes, because in the end they know it doesn't fucking matter. Blue Eyes is definitely true, and like in some way, and I'm sure that and Karen knows everything she said about Robin is ridiculous. This is the woman who told Giselle she needed to go to Sing Sing last year and then asked what that was and she said I don't know. Just sounded funny. But all in all, non-Bravo was a fun week of TV.
Honestly, I had lols, joy. I think the episode of Potomac was literally just a perfect vacation episode. That's what it was. This is the vacation episode we needed. Like, it was dark, hilarious antics. Yeah. Giselle is shitting her pants, so...
We didn't even talk about her pulling the bread out of the purse. Exactly. I mean, there's just so much happening. Lols. I couldn't get my ass off the screen.
A fucking horrible friend, but watchable.
Yep. But we will be back next week with more chats. So thank you guys for being the best. And you can follow me at TheTomHamlet, and you can follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X.
And then the podcast is Dumpster Dive Pod. And on TikTok, we are the number 2 Dumpster Divas. So... follow all the stuff, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, and we hope to have y'all listening next week as well. Bye.
Bye-bye.